Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is supposed to be a commentary episode where we watch Season 7, Episode 22, The Last Roundup, while talking about Season 7, Episode 22, The Last Roundup. However, we had technical difficulties in the way we were watching the episode and the way we were recording the episode, so it's not exactly on time. You can watch if you wish. NYPD Blue is currently on Hulu and Amazon if you need a place to watch them. And of course, they're on DVDs if you are able to get them. We would never recommend that you watch them through illegal means. Absolutely not. Anyway, thank you for listening. Hopefully we're back on a consistent schedule now. We should be recording in the same room starting from now on, basically. So we'll hopefully fix all of these technical issues and get things moving smoothly by Season 8. Anyway, here we go.
1, 2, 3, go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is Season 7, Episode 22, The Last Roundup, and this is the last episode of Season 7.
Last Roundup's the name of it?
That's the name of the episode, yes. Starts with Sipowitz reading a little Green Eggs and Ham to Theo, who's waiting to take a test.
I think Green Eggs and Ham is overrated. And it's overhyped.
You do?
Yeah.
Is there still a lot of hype for Green Eggs and Ham?
I don't know. I don't think one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish gets enough hype.
You know what? I'll agree with you on that
right?
one. Also, where's all the love for the Starbelly Sneeches?
Okay. That had a weird, like, Holocaust thing to it, so I don't know how I feel about it.
Fair. But, yeah.
I mean, those kids can make their own decisions when they're older.
And also, Theo just called it the bald room because that's where the bald kids play in. It's not cool. It's not cool, Theo.
We started talking about that last episode. I think it's because he equates it with, like, kids being sick.
Well, yeah, but still, don't call it the bald room.
Yeah, like, his dad and whatever fucking Katie is.
He describes her as his aunt to the people.
They don't really correct him either, so yeah, I guess you.
So this scene is Danny coming by to check on Theo and Andy before Theo's surgery. And I wanted to point out that Theo tries two different ways to get rid of Danny Sorensen. When Danny first shows up, he's like, get me some water. He doesn't ask. He says, get me some water. And then they're like, he's not allowed to have water. And then when Danny's about to leave, he goes to hit the button, comes back to kiss people on the forehead like a fucking weirdo. And Theo straight up goes, you'll miss the elevator. They'll close. So it's like, my theory, Theo hates Danny Sorensen. Anyway, we're at the credits. This is NYPD Blue Balls, Ry Kirk.
Oh, my bad. How old is Theo?
You are not holding the microphone.
How old is Theo?
Well, Kyle.
How old is Theo? I don't know. 6? 7?
Kids are just bossy like that at that age.
And once again, rest in peace, Austin Majors, who played Theo Sipowitz. He died at 27. I think the suspicion is drug related, but I don't know if that's sure.
Can you cut something out if I say it?
No.
Okay, then never mind.
What were you possibly going to say?
The suspicion is drug-related. The reason was his band sucked.
Oh, that's just mean. You're mean. I didn't even listen to his band. I know that it existed. So, we come back from the titles, and clearly, Fancy was like, Russell, we're having a meeting tomorrow morning. Because it's the first thing they do.
And oh, you don't think she's there? She was like got there early just to talk to him when no one was around?
No. He says...
Oh, okay.
He says... She says, like, okay, so what's up? And he's like, well, let's talk about your partner.
That's what you've noticed.
And he says, she doesn't do any work when she's here, if she's here at all. And it's like, then she shouldn't have a job. He says that he's going to take her off the chart, and Diane's like, is that necessary? He's like, if she's not fucking doing it. And...
then they do like a who's on first bit of...
Why aren't you going to be forthcoming?
Don't you think I want to be forthcoming? And it's just hard for me not to be able to be forthcoming. There it is right there. Why would it be hard for you to not be forthcoming if you want to be forthcoming about being forthcoming?
And then he says those words, the job knows. Which means the job knows that Jill is talking to criminals. And potentially working with them.
Fancy's just good, man. This guy who plays Fancy.
James McDaniel.
Yeah, he's just good. He's a good actor.
And there's an interesting point that...
I like this part right here.
Fingers crossed for Theo?
No, like that part? No. Oh, that's not this part. Sorry.
Now, there is a... As this episode persists, they imply that maybe Fancy let Diane know so that she could tip off Jill.
Yeah.
I would like to think that's not the reason Fancy told her, and that these folks just assumed that. Because I think Fancy would be smart enough to not tell them to do that, what they end up doing. I think Fancy's a little more careful than the decisions they make for the rest of this episode. Assuming you remember the decisions they make for the rest of this episode.
No, I remember what they do. Spoiler.
Mild spoiler.
Mild. Like the mild salsa from Taco Bell.
Yes, just that's the level of spoiler we're dealing with.
Yeah, it's not that big a deal. Like, John out here getting gifts.
Also, there is a point made in this episode that Medavoy doesn't know what's going on, and that makes him mad. People are having secret meetings and talking about stuff on the down low.
Yeah, because he can't keep his fucking mouth shut.
It's a good point. If they were at Greendale, it'd be on the Dean low.
Just sometimes, like, you don't need to know everything.
It's also, there is a great moment in this episode about that, about, like, when to know what's going on and when not. But look at the way he's sitting, so frustrated. And then he, like, basically shouts, people are talking about things I don't know. Like, he might as well be shouting it from the rooftop.
But he says it in such, like, an old man type of way.
And it also reminds me...
I'm with people, you need a secret decoder ring to decipher everything they're saying because they're leaving me out.
It's also fun because we know that... Because Baldwin kind of gave an exasperated expression and just walked away. And it's like, isn't it funny how that happens with all of Medavoy's partners? That they always just end up going like,
ugh. Are we just going to ignore the fact that a door fell on him?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. He tries to open the door. It falls on him. It falls on his foot and he gets angry. And then it falls on his foot again.
I don't know how old... refrigerator doors work, but that's really hard for that to happen without you like knowing beforehand that it's a problem. Do you know what I'm saying?
You mean that the squad knew that there was an issue with that door and no one fixed it until it landed on Medavoy?
Yeah, but he had to have known too. You know what I mean? It's not like he wouldn't have known that that door would have issues.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Theo's getting picked up for his bone marrow situation. And that scene is short and kind of useless. And everybody's making these looks. Everybody's looking around.
They feel the tension.
There's tension. And Minovoy starts to get upset if anyone has a conversation now. It's like, that's a conversation I'm not included in. All right.
Metavoy's a bitch.
You know, you have kept
always been one.
You have kept that same opinion of Metavoy for quite some time.
Nothing's gonna change.
Quite some time.
He's not real police. Sounds like I'm a skill, Diane. Oh, that's one of my. I really do like that small scene between them when they're both mad at each other. Sorry, I'm talking about the microphone.
Yeah, you were using the mic.
When they're both mad at each other, it's a good scene in how she approaches her and how she reacts.
It's also fun how they're like, let's go have a private conversation in a room that they 100% can hear us if we yell and then start yelling at each other. It does feel, this scene where they're yelling at each other, it does feel like they're both going for their Emmys, and they're not going to get them.
Yeah, it's just this, it's not good.
It's not the violent emotional outbursts that get you that golden statue.
Yeah, like, what, like... Yeah, it's not Sylvia.
No.
It's not Jimmy.
Jimmy Smits. I was like, who the fuck is Jimmy? And you said Jimmy Smits, yeah.
Bobby. It's not Bobby.
I don't know.
Sipwood's in his heyday.
And we sort of talked about it, but we had technical difficulties all through the last episode. It's really setting up this like real strong climax for Jill, and it's like, but we don't really care about Jill like we do about other people. Like, at least I don't.
It takes lost time.
So yeah, they come out of this bathroom. And it's also like there's this feeling like, well, we got to protect the squad, but also the squad is just this passive aggressive, clicky situation where like a bunch of people have no idea what's going on.
And the whole time, Andy's gone.
Yeah.
And he would normally be the one that they all go to be like, what should we do? Or like he would have the plan or like know what's happening, but he's got his kid to take care of and they're not going to bother him.
And then they cut back to Sipowicz and Katie watching them do this bone marrow test, which I don't think they knock people out for that. Maybe they do it for kids. But I thought bone marrow extraction, like, you're awake for it. Because it's like taking blood, but just way harder.
I don't know. I know that a guy at APU got his bone marrow extracted to see if it matched with someone so he could give it to them for... Because they were fighting, I think, bone marrow cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it hurts a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's a needle going into your bone to take out what's in the middle of your bone.
Yeah, that's why I thought it was like, I thought they kept you awake. So here we have a Metavoy hissy fit talking to Jones about how no one talks to him about what's going on.
But he can't find his leftover pants or something.
his leftover slippers from when he was living in there getting divorced. Just another time to mention, by the way, he's divorced. He has two daughters. We never talk about them. And he basically gives off this, like, nobody talks to me. I mean, besides you, I guess. And then Jones kind of... he kind of gives him the heads up, like, hey, I was involved to do something. I was, like, asked a favor, but I don't have any idea what it meant. Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just doing what I was asked, and...
He's mad about shit that he could have volunteered for if he just, like, would have spoken up.
True.
He's like, man, I would have went to the hospital. Did you say anything?
Did you go to the hospital?
Did you raise your hand when it was like people were talking? Be like, hey, I don't mind going to the hospital and checking on it. You guys seem like you got something going on. You know what I mean? Like, just sitting there like a little bitch, acting like a little bitch is what happens.
But it also highlights that maybe they wouldn't want Metavoy to be involved. like they wouldn't want Metavoy to be the one.
Well, it seems like the bigger question that no one wants to give an honest answer to.
Which is?
Do you want Metavoy really involved?
Yeah. Yeah, which is... And Baldwin mentions right now in the episode, he's like, yeah, that Nicole didn't work out. I'm confiding you with that. I was like, oh, you don't need to confide us. We know that Elizabeth Berkley didn't come back. She got two eps and she was out of here.
And I mean, if Andy was around, Andy does a better job at keeping Metavoy busy with like small shit and to like stroke his ego. Whereas like they're still like, they don't know how to deal with it. Because so, Andy would have been like, hey, why don't you give me a rundown of like all of the places like we could look for Don? You know, like, he would give him, like, some menial job while, like, they did all the other shit. Like, go visit whoever's, like, needed at the hospital.
Yeah, I get you there. So, this fucking scene.
Oh, wow. Passion.
Fashion?
I said passion. Like, oh, Jim Caviezel over here.
So, he... Danny comes in and he's like, how's Theo? And he's like, oh, he's out of the thing, blah, blah, blah. Theo's now coming out of it. And Danny runs down that Fancy let Diane know. Does that mean to actually get out of the way or to help out? And then they kind of work out. Maybe the kids are in duress, blah, blah, blah. But then Danny's like, but then Danny's like, suppose we need to murder a guy and disappear the body. How do I do that?
And then Sipowicz gets like really serious and goes,
here's how you do it.
Like, is this gonna be private? Absolutely private. And he's like, yeah, I just need the mechanics.
Yeah.
Bodies and dumpsters can be recovered. Bodies and water and heights can still pop up.
Yep. But hey, you bury them? Animals don't dig that far. Hey, talking about murdering a dude. Just talking about murder. You know, the crime we try to prosecute people for. We're just going to maybe do that. And the reason we're going to do it is for Jill. And not only that, he gives them a place to do it. Specifically for the ground. Hey, you know what? I know this place. It's got great ground for burying a body. Like, the perfect ground. And then he warns him, hey, if you're a decent person, you're going to have to live with that.
Do we think Sipowicz has done that? Because there was that whole situation when he, like, when... Bobby was talking to that other guy from the mafia on the corner, and Sipowicz pulled up when like they were shot. And he had talked about getting rid of a guy before or something like that. Do you think he's ever killed somebody like that?
It seems possible.
He's got a lot of information.
Also, why is Danny kissing so many fucking people on the head this episode?
He doesn't kiss him on the forehead. He kisses him on his bald spot. Like, the equivalent of, like, if he kissed me, like, right here on my head. He does. He doesn't kiss him on the forehead, on him on the forehead right there.
Denby, your character sucks. No one likes you. You're kind of a prick. So, Denby calls Diane just to be like, hey, you told Jill that they're coming after you? She already talked to us. I think you did it because you want to go away with me because you actually like me. So, do you?
I don't get him.
Yeah, I don't get him either. I think he's insanely lonely.
Right.
I think he's like going through like a drug-fueled depression.
Yeah. That's fair. I can see that.
But like his weird attraction to it's not and like it's not cuz she's like ugly or anything, but like his like obsession with her is weird.
It's also this like weird thing where he's obsessed with just her, but he also like doesn't care how this shakes out. Because she even... Is that me or you?
That's me.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
She even says, I will kill you in an earlier episode. And he's like, do you think I care? At the end of this conversation, he's like, oh, if you want me to be reformed, it's going to be at my next at bat. And if you're going to send me there, I suggest you do it to the back of the head when I walk away now. And seems disappointed that she doesn't shoot him. And then he flips off the guy that he assumes is his tail. He seems like it's almost like someone just kill me. Selling drugs. I'm in a crazy state. I want this woman to go with me who doesn't give a fuck about me.
That or he thinks he's going to get away with it.
Maybe.
Or it's confidence. That's irrational confidence.
That's some irrational confidence.
Oh, my God. How much more is this kid going to milk, dude?
What?
Get him on a farm.
Is he talking about him potentially dying? So this scene made me not furious, but it made me angry. Because this scene is the equivalent of find out next season on NYPD Blue. Because she goes, hey, we looked at his test results. He's not making hemoglobin or red blood cells. Those might be the same things. I don't know. He's not making it. And they're like, oh my God. She's like, it might be leukemia. And you're like, oh wow, that's really devastating. She's like, you know what it also might be? Bad reaction to medication. We don't know it. We'll know in a couple weeks. And it's like, so show up for season 8. That's all this is for.
Yeah.
Like there's...
I mean...
Like this is really just a, hey, stick around with our show, please.
The first time I watched this, I was like, they can't take another person from Andy's life.
Like, they just can't.
They can't. But I get it because no one else, if you think about it, in the department has somebody to lose that you know of. Like
besides Jill,
we're learning through what we're doing that no one really cares. And then you could have done like we already did Diane's family.
Mm-hmm.
We're never talking about Medavoy's family.
We started to talk about Danny, but then we just kind of were like, it's what gives him anxiety. We're done.
Like, we're not really talking about his sisters and his family anymore.
Yeah, we're definitely not letting Baldwin's family come in yet. Like,
he just got here.
Yeah, he just showed up.
So, yeah, it's Sipowicz.
Yeah, it's Sipowicz. And, like, and plus anyone of value to kind of lose. And I think people value his relationship with, what's his face? Little fuck boy. What's the boy's name? Theo.
Wow. his son?
Yeah, his son. I think they value that relationship. So they're like, oh, we have to make it scarce and throw like a wrench into it and have everyone freak out. And it gets the characters and the, not the characters, but the viewers to, you know, freak and care. And
yeah. Yeah.
Little fuck boy.
Lil fuck boy.
Maybe that should have been his music name. That would have helped.
Rest in peace, Dawson Majors. And music is subjective. So, basically, what we talked over, Diane tells, what's his name, Danny, that Jill already knows she's probably going to be in the wind. So then Danny's like, I'm going to contact IAB, see what's going on. They bring in one of my favorite characters, Martens. And Danny kind of plays dumb, like, I know the house is up. When is it going to be down? And then Martens is like, I can't fucking give you specifics, dude. Like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, I don't want to worry about people tapping my phones. Is this going on for like a month? And he's like, well, Junior, I wouldn't say a month. And then he's like, so tomorrow? He's like, well, don't do anything tomorrow. He's like, so something between there. And it's like, yeah, that's how that works. Like, that's how time works. You're not my banker. But I love Martens because, like, God, he has such a thankless job. And he also knows when, like, some people are decent people, but they immediately don't trust him anyway. It's like, I don't know. I love Martens.
No, I think that's why he's in it for so long.
Because yeah,
he's good. He's a good character.
He's a good character and a good actor. So then Danny runs to Metavoy and Jones and goes, hey, so we're boys. We're homies.
But this could get you fired.
Yeah. This also, like, the fact that nobody goes like, so you're going to take a guy somewhere. We don't know what's going to happen to that guy. We're going to take the cop to the house for IAB to arrest. And there might be people there that we're just going to let go. And no one even asks any more questions.
I mean, just gotta back the blue, dude.
Like, nobody. I feel like I would not last very long because I'd be like, why?
Blue lives matter, bro.
Okay. Well, let's not lose the three of our six listeners. I doubt they're still around. But also, Fancy's looking around like, I know what these fuckers are up to.
Yeah, he can smell it. He immediately, like, he's like, wait, now everyone's working? Like, this is weird. Everyone's up around and moving, taking phone calls, doing shit.
Suddenly, everybody's working.
Oh, my God. And then there's this weird-ass religious scene with the guy doing sign language.
Yeah, this scene also really highlighted something for me that I don't remember a lot of the sign language I learned when I took sign language in college. I picked up some of it, but then I was like, I must be wrong because I don't know what this dude's saying. Or signing, rather. But this deaf gentleman is praying in a hospital chapel, and Sipowicz, well, Dennis Franz is going for his Emmy, which he got closer than Diane and Jill. But he essentially prays to God, calling him a prick eventually, but saying like, hey, if Danny murders that guy, that's on me. And it's kind of like, well, it isn't, but you helped him quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, you didn't pull the trigger. Like, that's a big part of it.
But you also gave him, like, pretty
specific idea, which I, yeah, like, you're at fault a little bit.
Yeah. Where are the screws for the microphone?
They're sitting right here.
Okay.
Where they've been since I done did it and said, hey, I'm going to put these right here.
Okay.
I'm glad there was a break in the show for that.
Sorry. I just couldn't see them, and I didn't know if they fell off that table.
Well, you know what? You fell off the table.
But this is a very, very long, dramatic scene with Sipowicz basically saying, like, why? And I think he has a good point. He's like, why don't you just do something to me? It's always to everybody I love in my life. It's never to me.
He calls the deaf guy an idiot.
Yeah, which that's mean. Not very nice of him. I also thought it'd be funny. Obviously, this is not a funny scene. But I thought it'd be funny if that deaf guy turns around. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Yeah. Like, how long were you?
Turn around, I'm not an idiot.
just like scared the wits out of him. Because he's like, who the fuck? And then he's like, I'll stop Sorensen if you want. How the fuck are you going to stop him? Just call him and be like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah, good point.
Like, what are you going to say to him? Hey, look, I made a deal with God. Don't murder that guy who we've all agreed it's okay to murder him.
And how are you going to know if God wants you to stop? Like, obvious, it seems like God's been trying to talk to you for many years now and you haven't been paying attention. So how are you going to know now? You know what I mean?
Well, he's been talking to him through visions of his dead son and weird dreams about his dad. Which, the point of that episode was, hey, be a little less racist. And then he's like, hey, I had a dream that told me to be less racist. And then the black character was like, so I should be happy for you?
Good for you.
I
don't want you to think I'm a criminal, but I keep doing criminal type shit.
Keep committing crimes. But, this really, I don't think they did a good job explaining her side of what's happening. Because she's saying, okay, they got into a drug dealing situation. I never wanted to do drugs with him. And then one day he took one of our children, Frank, and said, he'll be fine, but I have to keep him on lockdown to make sure that you play ball. And now she's like, he told me he's going to take me to where Frank is tonight. And after I see Frank and get him out of the situation, I'm going to murder him. Basically, Don is going to die. It's like how this episode seems to go.
Why wouldn't she immediately tell, like, Fancy what was going on? And they could, like, get on it.
No idea. I think she has made one terrible decision after another. And this department does nothing but try to help her. Or this squad, not the whole department. Yeah, she also is kind of zombieing out in this scene.
Yeah, she's like she's doing drugs or something.
So after Medavoy has a public freakout and then a private freakout with Jones, they have this conversation where Jones is like, I think I'm piecing together what's going on. Where Diane had me follow this guy. That guy is related to Don Kirkendall. I think Kirkendall's involved. And then fucking Metavoy's like, look, I know I flipped a bitch about how everybody didn't want me involved. I don't think I should be involved with this one because it might involve murder. Might involve a little murder. So I don't want to know. I don't want to know specifics. Because once murder's involved, old Metavoy doesn't need to know details.
Well, he's a young, well, I mean, Jones is a young pup. Doesn't know the rules of the game yet.
He doesn't know the rules of the game. If murder's involved, don't ask.
It's like one of the only times I kind of respect Metavoy, because he's like, hey, I was being a bitch, and I shouldn't have, because we about to kill somebody. And then Jones is even kind of tested a little bit.
Yeah, Fancy brings Jones in, and through five times the amount of words, basically says, are you sure you're going to want to do this with this crew that you just joined? Because it might feel like you're a part of something. It might feel like you're a part of something, but you might be fooling yourself into thinking you're part of something. And Jones kind of responds with, I do feel like I'm part of something. And then Fancy's like, cool, go murder Don. Not really. But since he knows something's up and he's not stopping it, he might as well say, good job, go murder Don.
Yeah, it's a weird conversation because I feel like, I feel like Fancy in a way is like telling him to do the right thing. But then at the same time, he's like, you know, that right thing may not be the like proper thing.
Mm.
And he's like, but like at the same time, I think it's weird. I think Fancy wants him to do the right thing. But then at the same time, it's like, if you're going to want to fit in, you're going to have to do this right thing.
Slow-mo action scenes. So we got Kyle Kirkendall with Jill Kirkendall and Don. Denby. And Denby on the street. And I have a question. If you were on the street when this happened, doesn't this look like criminal behavior?
Yeah.
Because Danny gets Don Kirkendall in his own van. Metavoy and Jones get Denby in their SUV. Diane gets Jill in hers. But I don't, because it's, there's no audio, like there's no dialogue, we don't know if they said NYPD freeze
or anything like that.
It looks like just a kidnapping.
Yeah.
It looks like a planned kidnapping. And Danny gets the location of Frank on a pad, makes Don confirm that that's the address, and then Don thinks, this guy's gonna murder me. Separated me from the rest of the crew. He's got a gun. He's got all the information he needs from me.
But you have to make sure. But see, I think Danny is making a mistake. You need to make sure you have the kid before
putting. I agree with that
too. And putting a little rage against the machine into his head. You know what I'm saying? Bullet to the head.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there. And then we cut back to the Katie and Sipowitz staring at fucking Theo hour. And it's, oh my gosh.
Do they love Jesus, these writers? Like, what's up?
Well, I think she has to love Jesus because that's a part of her sobriety.
They're very hand-holdy.
Well, I think they're trying to establish that, like, they are each other's rock in this situation. And
but why is this a weird situation for her? This kid has nothing to do with her.
Well, I mean, she likes the kid.
Fair enough.
She's basically second mom. Fucking Martins. So he comes back to the house. He's like, so this is bullshit. You guys are lying that you just happened upon Denby and Jill Kirkendall's husband, and Jill wasn't there. And he's asking the right questions. Where the fuck is Kirkendall? Like, oh, she took last time. He's like, then where is Danny and her husband? He didn't have a radio.
I mean,
he didn't have a radio. You know how many times you just forget the radio in the car? And then, hey guys, don't worry. He didn't murder that guy and bury his body. He's right here.
It's just like Martins had to know this was going to happen. He's dealing with the squad.
Well, I don't think...
He told the squad it's some information. He had to have known this was going to happen.
Well, what's fun, what I think is fun, is this comment where he's like, hey, by the way, Denby had a chance to hurt one of us, but he didn't take it. And he's like, oh, hurt you with a gun? And he's like, yeah, with a gun. He's like, oh, I thought maybe hurt you by telling the fucking truth about what actually happened out there. But also, Kyle Kirkendall.
Great name.
Kyle Kirkendall. Played by Cortland Meade, a.k.a. Uh-huh, from the Little Rascals movie. Starring
Do you think it's rough on like kids to play characters with cooler names than your real name?
I don't know. Cortland's pretty sweet.
Okay.
You could say, uh-huh, okay, because, okay, it's named uh-huh. Okay, that was loud.
Like that? Uh-huh.
Very loud. Thank you. So now Diane's like, look, I'm going to give you the address to where Frank is, and you should probably never come back, because we've committed crimes.
And you're going to lose your job, for sure. So maybe you should just get on out of here and start over. New York City ain't the place for you.
No, it's not the place for you. But it's also funny how she's like, oh, no, I got it. I got it worked out. It's like, how? How do you have it worked out? What are you going to do? Where can you go?
Yeah, everything that you've tried to have worked out has, like, turn to shit here.
And what are you going to do? Like, okay, are you going to try and get another job as a cop? Like, what references are you putting down?
Yeah, like, move to, like, the Midwest. Be, like, a small-town cop there or something and, you know, move on.
So the end of the episode is, you know, just another creepy moment of a man staring at a child.
This fucking kid, get him another candy bar. He's sleeping through the night.
What does that even mean? Get him a candy bar. He's sleeping.
I don't know. Like, it feels like anytime this kid breathes, it's like, he did it.
But once again, I'm not offended, but I'm annoyed that this whole Theo storyline amounts to show up next season. The whole thing.
Yeah, they didn't really do that. They haven't really done that. Most of the time it's something that, like, no, that's not true. They always have something that kind of goes into the next season a little bit.
They do.
But it's never anyone's health. It's like finishing up a case.
And it's not a situation where a character directly looks at the camera and other characters and goes, could be leukemia. could be nothing. Like, that did, that never happened. Like, there were the ones I'm thinking of are like when Bobby was at the scene of a murder
and Bobby
the, and Sipowicz was there. And then you're like, well, I'm coming back next season to figure out how do they.
Yeah, that was the one on the, when he was on the corner and Sipowicz pulls up. That's so, what I was talking about.
Yeah, so they have those, but that wasn't a situation where it was like, hey, something could have happened here. Or nothing. That's why I don't like that episode specifically. So that's season
that's
seven.
Fair. That's a fair. That's a fair
assessment.
So that's season seven. It was mostly about Kirkendall, and spoiler alert, this is the last time we see Kirkendall in the entire series.
But it's not the last time we talk about her case.
No. And that's something like other seasons where it ended with something, we're going to continue talking about it in the next season.
Yeah.
So no more Kirkendall or Dawn, I don't think. But we're talking about their case. And the season started out talking about Dawn and Kirkendall, Dawn and Jill Kirkendall, and then ended with them, and it wasn't very great.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I feel like there are three sections to that season. The first section includes Dawn and Jill.
Mm-hmm.
The second section doesn't, and then they bring back Dawn and Jill for the end, and the second section's good.
But the second section was Danny and Mary, wasn't it? And a little bit of Danny and...
yeah, a little bit, yeah.
What's his name? BJ? No.
Oh, the doo-wop guy. Oh, I forgot his name.
How did we forget his name?
I'm a free choosing choice.
Oh my gosh, how do we not remember that dude's name?
I forget his name.
With the hat. Damn it.
JB.
JB, thank God. I knew it was a two-letter situation. JB, and it was also like, it seemed like they were seasoning the Danny stuff, like making him more interesting, but it didn't really go a lot of places. And then they were just like, what about Dawn again?
Yeah, it felt like they came back to it because that's all, they didn't have anything else, but they're like, oh, we started out with this. And we can turn Danny this way, but then we can come back with a Dawn and Jill thing. But
and it also seemed like they were trying to make Dawn like a fake criminal mastermind, but he's just a dunce and an asshole.
And yeah, then, it's like they needed to decide one way or another which way he should go. Should he be like so dumb that it's comical and he like fully dives in and keeps doing dumb shit, or is it like a facade where he is playing dumb but he's able to do some interesting shit? You know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't know.
Yeah, they don't really. And then also you have the inclusion of Harry Denby, who's just annoying.
Yeah, and it's not like the guy who was playing Don was acting well enough to make you think, like, why does he have this hold on Jill?
No. He's also not, like, incredibly attractive or charismatic. So there's, like, this kind of, like, why wouldn't you just be, like, fuck off? Period. But, yeah. That was season seven.
Maybe he just has a huge wiener.
Maybe he just has a huge wiener. The theme of season seven of NYPD Blue.
I mean, that's the only thing that could answer that question, personally. Because they established early that she's going to keep on going back to him, so.
And it's like, he's got to have something.
Yeah.
It's that game. It's that D game.
It's that D stick.
This is also another episode that has, like, no cases in it.
Yeah, they're just solving personal life issues.
There's no case. And an entire...
So that's kind of funny when Jill leaves and says, lost time. Like, you weren't doing anything to begin with.
No one was doing anything to begin with. there was, hey, you know what? There was no murder in New York that day or in that precinct. There's no murder. And they also don't even do, sometimes they don't do murder. Sometimes they do fraud and like assault. There was no crime that needed a detective.
In the 15th precinct.
There was a sign on the door that said, Sipwiz's kid is sick. So they just went to a different department.
Don't hurt each other today.
Don't hurt.
Sipwiz has got stuff going on.
All right. Anything about this episode of the season before we wrap it up?
I think this season is going to be interesting.
The one coming up, season 8?
Yeah.
Well, non-spoilery, it is the last season of an era. I do believe we have more characters leaving in this season that were an important part of the show in the next season, season 8.
Yeah.
Because we already lost Martinez season 7. And now...
Kirkendall.
And we know Kirkendall's now gone. And we're going to have more people leaving and new people coming in, but more people leaving, coming in to this new season. So, another season to go. And after that season, there's only 4 more.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's right. We only have 5 more seasons to go of NYPD Blue Balls. If you need more NYPD Blue information in your life, there's a couple of books out there, True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. There's What Would Sipwiz Do?, a collection of articles written about the show. And then there's Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue that's on Amazon for 99 cents. If you have a moment, please rate and review NYPD Blue Balls on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. Even if you hate the show, I think just having reviews helps it gets seen in the algorithm, and then more people might listen to the podcast, and more importantly, people might check out the best show ever, NYPD Blue. Thank you for sticking around with the inconsistent schedule. I apologize. Right now, all of the Ashers are in some sort of moving mode, but most of us are over the hill at this point, and soon it will be completely done, and I hope to be back on a consistent schedule, at least for season 8. Which is coming up real soon. Peace.